UN aid workers are stepping up the distribution of emergency food supplies in Afghanistan. Humanitarian assistance began flowing in from Uzbekistan on the northern border. The Uzbek government yesterday opened the Friendship Bridge, the only road and rail link between the countries. An estimated 4 million Afghans depend on outside aid agencies for daily rations, but aid officials say the focus should be on the underlying causes of hunger and exposure in that war-torn country. NPR's Anne Garrels reports.
The UN's World Food Program has undertaken a much-publicized one-time distribution of wheat to everyone in the Afghan capital. But the project had to be suspended yesterday when chaos broke out at distribution points. This UN effort has been widely criticized by other aid organizations, which call it an ill-thought-out public relations stunt which has only made people angry. Eric Wenis is the head of Action Against Hunger in Afghanistan.
So we are a bit doubtful about the pertinence of this distribution now. The point is not to make a very quick project. We have to work on sustainable projects on a long-term basis and not only on just solving very short problems.
While there are certainly vulnerable groups in Kabul and elsewhere, he says there are far more effective ways of reaching them, and he worries that misguided efforts discourage donors and distract attention from the country's real needs.
Afghans are waiting for development of infrastructures in general. There is no health structures functioning apart from those run by the aid agencies. People have repeated diseases all during their lives, which can create some malnutrition.
Lack of safe water, diarrhea, and preventable diseases like measles are the main killers of Afghan children under five. In the north, in particular, youngsters are dying at a rate three times as high as normal. Abdullah Kustani, the head doctor at Kabul's Wazir Akbar Khan Hospital, says patients have to travel several hours to get minimal health care because provincial centers have been forced to close. Instead of spending money on desperately needed heat, blankets, sheets, medicine, and salaries, he's currently replacing all the windows which were blown out when an American bomb struck a nearby building. 2 hours from Kabul, in the village of Dashti Tuk, an elder, Haji Humar, says he's seen no evidence of a government in more than 10 years. There's no medical care here, and no schools for boys or girls beyond the age of 9. Humar says most of the children can neither read nor write. In addition to war, this village has been hit by a devastating earthquake, followed by 2 years of severe drought. Haji Humar says only the world community can bring stability and jobs. A team of specialists has arrived to see how the UN can support the new interim administration, which takes office in 12 days. Unlike East Timor and Kosovo, where the UN essentially ran the government, here Afghans will take the lead. But under the terms of the Bonn Agreement, the UN will provide technical advisors to help establish a judiciary, police force, central bank, civil service, human rights and constitutional commissions, as well as voter registration. Paul Barker, country director for CARE, has watched the international community's interests come and go.
Prior to September 11th, it was quite hard, and so we were having funding gaps and programs to grow and shrink and so on, and we weren't able to do everything we wanted to do.
In the past, he says international interest waned when the worst seemed to be over. This time, he hopes the commitment holds. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Kabul, Afghanistan.